Okay, so moving on in our discussion of Heseba, we're in the middle of discussing, you know, to which achilos or to which items Heseba is applicable, and basically analyzing, you know, going each, you know, one by one, analyzing each one in light of the different approaches to the sugya. So what we're up to is the option of Mar. So what is the Gemara paskin about Heseba by Mar, Aryeh? Exactly, right? The Gemara says, Mara in Tzarech Haseba. But the Gemara leaves out why. Right? And the big question is going to be, why doesn't Mara require Haseba? And you're going to see that the answer to this question is going to depend very much on the different approaches that you take. Right? As we'll see, if you accept the approach, we'll call approach number one, that Haseba is a chilek in the mitzvah, right? And therefore Haseba only applies to mitzvos whose themes align with the theme of Haseba. So then, what would be the answer? What would be the reason, Chaim? What would be the reason why?
Because it's showing the Tzar Mitzrayim speech.
Exactly, very good. So again, the answer that a number of Rishonim give is that the reason why Haseba's is Eino Shayach, right, is not applicable to Maror is because the theme of Maror is the opposite of Cheros. Right? Haseba is the theme of Cheros, but Maror is the exact opposite. It's a theme of Shibut, of Abdus. And this is the explanation given by a number from Farshim, which is, they all basically say the same thing. You have it in Rashi. It says, Maror ein tzarech haseba, shuzecher la'avdus, right? That same phrase of shuzecher la'avdus is said by Rashi. It's right on the daf, the Rashbam on the daf. You have the Rimi Lanil on the spot says that. And I didn't have you see it because it's really just a little repetitive, but the Ran says it also, right? Ran al-Rif. So you have Rashi, the Rashban, the Rimi Lanil, the Ran. And then, who's the last one? Which I assigned just because it has other things in there also. Who else said this? The Meiri. And the Meiri is a little, you know, longer formulation, but it says the same idea. Anyone have the Meiri inside? If you just, you know, open up the Meiri, we're going to need him soon as well. It basically says the same thing.
Yeah.
You just skip the Mara part, the Mara Eino Tzarech. Like a couple lines in. Exactly, right. So the reason exactly, Miri just uses slightly different Lashonos, but same idea that the reason why Haseba is not Shayach to Mara is because Mara is the antithesis of Cheros. It's all about the Shibut. So again, all these Rishonim, although it seems a little repetitive, the reason why we want to focus on all of them is because according to our analysis, the fact that Rashi, Rashbam, Rimi Lanil, Ran, and Meiri, the fact that they all justify the lack of Haseba for Maror by saying that the theme of the internal theme of the mitzvah is incompatible with the theme of Haseba, that tells us that they all seem to adopt the first approach. They all seem to adopt the approach that Haseba is a chelek in the mitzvah, and therefore it needs to align with the internal themes of the mitzvah. So that's just important. Again, whenever you're trying to, you know, learn a sugya and trying to line up shitos, it's always very important to, you know, pin down a certain rishon. Yeah.
Why can't it just be that they go the second approach, but it's the antithesis of what Haseba is about?
Okay, you could say that. You could say that. I mean, the Rav, when he was presenting it, doesn't like that because, you know, he thought that, like, you know, the discussion of the of the Arba Kosos, of the Cheros there, he said, did not work in with the Achila Suda approach. And the Rav is like, I guess it was like, you know, presented as like, he's like a purist, right? If it's a din in the Suda, if it's a din in the Achila, so then the only Koveya should be whether a particular thing is a Chelek in the Suda or whether it's a Chash of Achila. Right? The factor of whether it itself conforms or aligns with the theme of Cheros would be inapplicable according to the Rav. So again, along those lines, that's what we're assuming. So again, if you assume like the Rav that it's like, you know, the Rav's like a purist within the sugya, they're like, if you take, you know, approach number two, that's mitzma b'fnei atzma, which is associated with the su'uda, or with chashav achilos, and the only koveya is going to, which we'll discuss right now, is whether the particular item is a part of the su'uda, or is considered a chashav achila, but the factor of cheros, the theme of cheros, plays no role at all. It's the cheros. The haseba is an expression of cheros, but when they decided to which parts of the night you perform cheros, the only koveya was going to be what's considered a chashav su'uda or chashav achila. That's the way the Rav presents it. Okay, so within, that's a good segue. So according to the second approach, right, that the koveya of Heseba is not the internal theme of Chiras, but it's rather whether the particular item is integrated as part of the Su'uda or it's considered a Chashav Achila. So then the koveya for whether or for the reason why Heseba does not apply to Maror is not going to be because of the internal themes of Maror not aligning with the theme of Chiras, but it's rather going to be the question about whether the Achila of Maror is considered part of the Su'uda or not. All right, so what makor did I have you see which relates to this question of whether Maror is part of the Su'uda? What was Tosos? What's the context of Tosos? What nafkamina, what halacha is Tosos discussing? Exactly. Right? A great litmus test, a great test to ascertain, to figure out whether Maror is a chilek in the Su'uda, is the question about whether it would require a separate borei pri ha'adama. Right, because there's a halacha, actually, the high school kolo is learning, you know, oh, it's actually they're learning brachos, we're learning shlosh ha'shachol. But Ketz Mevarchim, right, the sixth paragraph, I believe, in brachos, which discusses, you know, brachos rishona. So one of the big issues is that when you eat something in the middle of a meal, right, the question about whether it requires a separate bracha rishona depends on whether that item is part of the su'uda. And the phrase over here is the phrase of whether it's the category is called Dvarim Abayim Besocha Suda Machmas Suda, and the category of items literally which come in the middle of the Suda and come because of the Suda, those category of items which are integrated into the Suda do not require a separate bracha. So the question is, does Maror require a separate Bar Pir Adama? And if it doesn't, why not? So that's going to be the discussion in Tosos, which is, you know, based on what we're explaining, directly relates. So what's Rav Yosef Tuv Elam's, you know, point? What's his shita in regards to this? Why, again, the facts on the ground from the Gemara is that generally, Maror does not require a Borei Pri Adama. The question is why? So what's Rav Yosef Tuv Elam's approach? You don't need to remember?
It's not really part of the Shudas, but therefore, for the first table covers...
Okay, good. But, exactly. So, good. Yeah, so what covers it? What's motzi it? Exactly. So let's read this inside. Excellent. So Rav Yosef Tuv Elam, again, in Tosos on Kuf Tezvav, Dibur Hamascho Bahadar Achil, are the last three lines of Tosos, quotes Rav Yosef Tuv Elam, which again, it's quoted in a number of Tosos in Arvei Pesachim, which is very important shitos regarding the Seder. I believe he has like some type of, I think like piyut, in terms of the Seder, and the Tosos, you know, is medayik a number of things from this piyut of Rav Yosef Tuv Elam. So, Yonah, do you see it?
Yeah.
Alright, what's the purpose of what? What do we call this?
Karpas.
Exactly. Sorry, he's coming to it from the angle of Karpas, which we'll get to next. So, what is the purpose of Karpas? Right, that's what Karpas is, one of those things. It's like, seems pretty random. Why do you eat that vegetable, right, early on, what?
Shask.
Oh, so we didn't get to that. So Rav Yosef Tuv Elam argues, you're like the Gemara, which 100% right, but Rav Yosef Tuv Elam gives an alternative, gives a different reason. So Lama Shar Yirakos Ba'in Tchila, why do we eat karpas? Right, Liftor Chazeres Mi Bracha Ru'ila. So what does that mean? To pater
Maror
from her bracha. So Tosos is going to point out, what's the implication? It's that if not for the bracha on the karpas, which is motzi, the bracha on the maror, maror would what? Would require its own bracha. And the question is, what do you mean? It's in the middle of the su'uda. The point is, Rav Yosef Tuv Elam holds that although maror takes place in the time-wise in the middle of the su'uda, it's not considered to be part of the su'uda. It's not in the category of dvar mabayim besocha su'uda machmas su'uda. So therefore, Rav Yosef Tuv Elam is a great makor for this idea that Maror, although it takes place in the middle of the Suda, it's not part of the Suda. And therefore the approach, right, of the, we'll call this set, right, approach number two, that, right, that that Heseba is a mitzvah b'fnei atzmo, and according to the version that it's that the mitzvah b'fnei atzmo is associated with Suda. So that approach would explain the reason why there's no Heseba for Maror is because Maror is not part of the Suda. So where do you see such a thing that Maror, even though it takes place in the middle of Suda, is not integrated into the Suda? This shita Rav Yosef Tuv Elam. So we're suggesting that the Rambam, at least according to the Rav, who accepts the approach that it's a din, that Heseba is a din in the Suda, would seemingly have to explain the lack of a seva by Maror in line with the Rav Yosef Tuvel, and by holding that Maror does not integrate into part of the Suda. But we should note that this Shita of Rav Yosef Tuvel is not really Pashut, because the first day in Tosis argues and says, why is there no bracha on Maror? Ephraim, what is the first day in Tosis holds? Exactly. The first day says, the reason why there's no separate bracha on Maror is because it's part of the Suda. You're Yotze with the Birchas Alechem. Right? When you make a Motzi, that's Yotze, that's Motzi, a bracha Rishon, and everything that's part of the Suda. And the first day argues with Rosi Tuvel and says, Maror is part of the Suda. It's within the category of Dvarim, Habayim, Besocha Suda, Machmas Suda, and therefore it doesn't require a bracha Rishon because it was pattered from the Birchas HaMotzi. So again, just to point out that this issue about whether Maror is part of the Suda or not, again, is a subject to the two Deos in Tosos on Kuftes Vavam et Alef, again, which directly relates back to our Suya according to the approach, which says that the Koveya of whether a Seba is required by something is whether that's part of the Suda. Again, the Suda approach would have to align with Rosh Tuvelim and explain the lack of a Seba by Maror is because it's not part of the Suda. Fine. Adkan. Yeah.
Is Maror considered a Fudi? Say a brach on it?
Oh, you're saying otherwise?
Yeah, because it's not like a real food. It's like just a meat.
Well, it's lettuce.
What?
According to many, okay, the ikar is lettuce.
Right, it's lettuce, but it's why do you do the lettuce? It's not l'shem achilas.
Okay, but you're saying just the fact is it's a good question. But just the fact that something is l'shem mitzvah doesn't mean it doesn't get a bracha rishon. Matzah, for instance.
Well, even less than that. Kidding. It's not like it's not even anah. It's scum. You're.
Okay, but I hear what you're saying. I hear. I mean, the Rishonim don't seem to be saying that. Actually, my father-in-law has a aura similar to what you're saying. But he's working within Rav Yosef Tuvelim, and the question is, right, Rav Yosef Tuvelim says, why don't you make a brach on the maror? It's because you're a yotzei through the karpas. And the reason why we have karpas is to make sure that you don't make a brach on the maror. So the question you have to ask on Rav Yosef Tuvelim is, so why are we instituting karpas just so that we don't make a bracha on the mar? So again, the one girsa that goes at Tzvinim quotes in the Rav Yosef Tuvelim is because this idea you don't want to bundle brachas, you don't want to have two brachos on the same food. But another approach to that, is actually my father suggests, which is in line with what Chaim is saying, that you specifically don't want to make a birchas anenin on mar. Maror, which is all about right, the merirus, the shivud, so the sort of like, it would be the antithesis to Maror to make a birchas anenin, which is all about the hunda, which I think is similar to what you're saying. But again, you still have, it's not enough to say, therefore, you're pater from a bracha, that's all to justify why we go out of our way to specifically make the bracha on karpas to be motzi. But again, it's along the same lines, you're machabing to Rosh Hashiva. Yeah.
Yeah. The first day of Tosfos.
What?
Like the first day of Tosfos. Then would have to go. You would
say, no. We're saying that you do. I mean, Ikar Din. If you were just to eat Maror, you would have to make a bracha. But why does Rav Yosef Tuvelim say that we institute karpas specifically to ensure that you won't have to make it? We do that so that you don't end up making a bracha and edit on it.
No, for the first.
Oh, so sorry. I thought you were asking. Sorry. No, separate. Sorry.
Assuming, let's say for the wrap up, if Maror really is part of the Suda, then of course, the is you would have to live with Maror also.
Yeah. According to the way the Rav sets it up, it would have to be that the Rambam aligns with Rav Yosef Tuvel. Yeah, that's what you'd have to say. Yeah.
One more
time?
If Rav Yosef Tuvelim is really arguing with the Gemara, what business do you have to, like, talking about his sheet?
We're going to see a number. We'll get to Karpas soon, and we're going to see there are a number of reasons given by Mefarshim which are against the Gemara. So, it depends on how you read. Is that just Dafkut and Rish Lakish? Again, the Gemara gives that idea of Kadesh Yishalu pretty agav within like a mitzvah Suchas Kavana, you know, Shach Vitaria. It doesn't like mention karpas and say, oh, why do we do this? So it could be because the Gemara just mentions an agav within a certain issue of mitzvah Sichos Kavana. Could be that's why Mefarshim, such as Rav Yosef Tuvelim, and we'll see the Maral and the Bach, offer alternatives. But it's a good question. It's interesting. The Gemara, you don't often find that the Gemara gives one reason and then you Rishonim like offer alternatives. But because you're right, because Tosis is bothered by Rosh Tevelin by saying, "What are you talking about? Just the Gemara gave a reason." But we're going to see a number of Mefarshim do that. It's interesting.
Gemara doesn't give a reason for Rishonim.
What?
Gemara doesn't give a reason for Rishonim.
Okay. Yeah, that's what I meant. Meaning, it's very much a dechia within the Shaka Vitaria, so it sounds like it's more agav than like, and that's why Mefarshim are more willing to offer alternatives. Right.
According to Riskarov, because it's not included in the Suda, it's not a Chashav
Achila? Yes, you something like that. Well, I guess with it not being a Chashav Achila could be explained, I feel like, more easily. I mean, the fact that it's not part of the Suda is a little more difficult because, like, you're saying it between your Birchas Amotzi and Birchas Amos, and the answer is, oh, no, even so, you see a Shita who says that it's not, you know, Dvarim Habayim, Bisokas Udamach Mesuduk. With it not being a Chashav Achila, you can just, that's easier to explain because it's just a little, you know, it's a little vegetable. So you can just explain like that. It's probably easier. You don't have to come on to this Chiddush in order to say that. Okay. So we just, okay.
Maybe much of the same on Mar? Like, if it's just to the Mar.
So again, that might depend on your approach. If you take the first approach, that it's all about the internal themes, then it's really not Shayach, and you probably shouldn't. According to other ones, that it's Davka, Din, and the Suda, and this is not part of the Suda, so it sounds like it'd be more of like a neutral thing. You don't need to, but it wouldn't be a problem. That's an interesting Nafkamino also. Yeah.
But like Mar says, you know, Tzorach, so you don't make it sound like...
You don't need to.
You want it, you probably
can. 100%. So that's a good hara. Also, it definitely leaves it open. Again, you always have that question whenever the Gemara is like, it says matzah tzarech haseba, then mara eno tzarech haseba. So the question is it dafka saying eno tzarech, or is it just using the same type of lashon? But 100%. It definitely leaves open the option for Arya's hara. Yeah.
I mean, whatever is the power to move it from the level of chiyuv, what would it start to say that it's shayach benat chayuv?
Well, number one, we know there is a level of lechatchila. That's number one. Where you're not chayev, but it's our is a mishubach. That's our number one. Number two, if it's all about that they only instituted as part of the su'uda, because haseba, during the su'uda, that's going to be the greatest expression of laharasas atzmo. So then you could say, okay, if somebody's not defined as part of the su'uda, there's no... Chiyuv, but you know, it can't hurt. I mean, I can see that in the Svara.
But it's like moving it down, though, no?
What? What's the problem of moving it down? I mean, we do see that there's a hierarchy here. So I don't see a problem. Again, within the first approach, within the Rashi, the Rashbams, who all say it's Zeich Lashiba, then it's Mamash not Shayach, and you shouldn't do it, because then it's like, it's bad, it's a problem. But again, if it's just about, you know, it's not part of the Suda, or it's not a Chashav Achila, according to that approach, so then, okay, it's not a chiyuv, but, you know, it's something neutral. Maybe there's a chiyuv, I don't know. Based on Yisrael Zahar, it says, you know, tzarech, so perhaps there would be a chiyuv. Okay, so moving on to the next, you know, potential time in which we could do Haseba, and that's the question of, is there a value or a chiyuv to do Haseba when you're reciting the Haggadah, or when you're reciting Kiddush, or when you're reciting Halal? Right? Or is it just during the matzah and the dalet kosos, etc.? So, again, this question about whether haseba would be chayiv during the halal, during the haggadah, during the kiddush, again, as you can imagine, is going to be totally on the different approaches. And we'll plug it into a particular rishon in just a moment. If you think that haseba, again, is about, you know, accentuating the theme of chayrus within certain mitzvos, so therefore the mitzvah of matzah, the mitzvah of dalet kosos, which have themes of cheretz, it's shayach to do eseba to highlight those internal themes of cheretz. So then you could say, very easily, that just like matzah and dalet kosos have the themes of cheretz, so too the Haggadah has a theme of cheretz, so too Kiddush has a theme of cheretz, so too Halal has a theme of cheretz, so why not do it there too? And in fact, which Rishon adopts this first approach, that it's a chilek in the mitzvah, and says, hu adin, you're supposed to do, there's a chiyuv to do haseba during halal, during haggadah. Who says it? The Me'iri. Right, the Me'iri l'shitasa, which works out very nicely with this analysis, the same Me'iri who says that don't, remember he rejects, is don't think, based on the pashas of Tzadi Tes, the Mishnah of Tzadi Tes, that haseba the din in the su'uda, no, it's a din in the mitzvos. the din of the mitzvahs, which are specifically shayach to the theme of cheres. But then he says, oh yeah, dal kosos, kulam tu, Yechaim, you had it open before? You see that right after the maror? It says, arba kosos, kulam tzrichim heseba. Right, stop there. So what does he say? Not only during the shtiyas arba kosos, but also all the amiros, which are connected to them. The idea being, they're also shayach to the theme of cheros, and therefore, heseba, as a chelek in those particular mitzvos, is also shayach to them. So again, the mi'iri works out very well, l'shitaso.
Are you saying that, or is he saying that it's connected to the cups?
Okay, what do you mean by that?
Each of those things are connected to a thing of one of the alakosos.
Okay, but I think those are two sides of the same coin, no? Aren't you in essence saying, because they're all cheres related?
Then it would be part of the Sida.
Oh, but again, if you think that they only instituted Heseba to the Seuda, that would be very strange. Even his Lashon doesn't sound... He's saying, Hein Shtiyasim, Hein Advarim Shem Usudarim Aleim, sounds like it's equal. Just like the Dalet Kosos, one could add as a theme of Cheres. So therefore, Bein their Shtiya, Bein the Amira, those are both Cheres related. And again, remember, even... Definitely the context of the Miri is not Suda related. He's very much, you know, you're just saying, could it be in other... Definitely within the Miri, it sounds like he's saying it's, you know, it's a din of Cheres. I mean, after he rejected Maror for not being Cheres, he's saying, these are Cheres. But, you know, within the Suda, definitely the way the Rambam formulates it, again, L'shitas, the Rambam never says that. The Rambam says, when you're eating, when you're soed, then you do a Seba. It would be very strange for the Rambam to then apply it to the Haggadah. So again, I think very much that you really should thought so.
Just like a different
point
of view.
Is he saying
that it's because it's Yanni
Pesach,
just things that are
depth
of
the hepech
of
a
Seba, can you
can't
do a Seba for, but it's not.
You didn't say in the beginning, Ela Ba'asiyas HaDvarim Shem Zecher La'osam HaInyanim. I thought Osam were referring to Cheres. It's clear from his discussion of Maror, no? Just the contrast. Let's see. The Osan HaNiyanim. Let's see. Maybe the beginning.
Something can be shaykh to the Laila. I don't have an example, but just directly, you could have something that shaykh to the Seder that's not Avdus.
But Maror is a great example. Maror, the theme of Avdus is definitely shaykh to the night.
But Seba as a Maisa can't be shaykh.
But aren't you getting back to the same point? That a Seba is shaykh to the theme of Cheres? And what he's saying is that whatever is shayach to the theme of Cheres...
Is there anything that could be neither Shibud nor Cheres, but still shayach to the Seder? Like, is there such a thing? That would be theoretically where I would want to differ, but I don't know if anything such exists.
I'm saying you can have things like... I'm saying Karpas. You know, there are random, or the Su'udah itself. And these are... We discussed, there are neutral things, or within the Deos and the Gemara, maybe two of the Kosos are considered neutral. Maida Hava Hava, for instance, says that the last two kosos are neutral.
Right. Also, just
going
back to, I'm not sure, I'm jumping off from Oben the Suda, but just the fact that they're the part of the kosos rather than the amiras in themselves. I mean, the Gemara doesn't mention the amiras, which would be weird if they were a Chiv Gomer on the same level, no?
Yeah, but I think he's saying that, remember, once you're in the mindset of approach number one, that it's all about, you know, that Heseba is shayach to anything which is any mitzvah of the night which has an internal theme of Cheres. So then what Miri is going to say, when the Gemara mentions Dalet Kosos, so within Dalet Kosos he's saying Mali the Shtia, Mali the Amira, because they're both Cheres oriented. Again, only if you're in within the mindset of like approach number two, where it was specifically, you know, Nitkan in association with an Achila or a Su'uda, where you would, you know, start being Mechalik. But once you say, it's about Cheres, so then, both associations with the Dalet Kosos. I mean, the Gemara mentioned Dalet Kosos. So the Amira is going to say, both aspects of Dalet Kosos, the Shtia and the Amira. He's going to say it's with Nichlal and the Gemara. And he's going to say when the Gemara is discussing first two Kosos, latter two Kosos, that's not just the Shtia of those Kosos, that's also the Amiras which are related to them. you know, Kiddush Haggadah for the first two, and Birchas Hamazon Halal for the last two.
And he says Amir Rasan is just like the most convenient way to refer to them, even though it's not that because they're Amir Rasan.
What? I mean, he's just saying when the Gemara says Dalad Kosos, Hein Shtiyasam, Hein Amir Rasan. Maybe the Gemara never says Shtiyasam.
Yeah, when Miri says it.
Yeah, he's just saying Hein Hein. Both. Both are Nichla.
Why are the Amirs of the Dagosos more Nichla within learning the Din of the Gemara more than the Kosos than in the Mara? Other than in the Matzah that.
You're asking because matzah lechem oni is matzah she'onim alav dvarim harbe, which might refer to the Haggadah. That would purchase your point.
No, but
pashtus the dalit kosos, meaning these four amiros are just associated with the four kosos. So those are just right. What other amiros are there? There's Kiddush, there's Haggadah, or halal, birchas hamazon. That covers basically the whole seder. So again, and just because they're Matukan, you know, Kenega, the Dalakosos, that's just the way. Again, I was sort of adding, you know, to your... You could have said that Haggadah is, you know, related to Matzah because one of the drushos of Lechem Oni is Lechem She'onim Alav Dvarim Harbe, which according to some... But like, that's... I have to figure out what the Meiri holds about that. But... So far, so good? Just one last Ta'ara from the Meiri, which actually comes from... I'll just do one question. Thank you. Actually, came from a question that Yoni and Ephraim asked me during Seder, which was basically three of the four amiros make a lot of sense, right? Three of the four amiros are very much chiras oriented. Which three?
Kiddush Halal.
Kiddush Halal. Haggadah. So they asked, what about Birchas Hamazon?
Kiddush is so chiras
oriented. It's, you know, Zman Chiras saying, right? You reference.
Well, you reference it because it's like more.
Okay, good. That's going to be part of the answer. Oh, look at that. And, you know, justifying the question. Something you can, like, destroy a question by answering it, right? So, so in short, let's do it a question-answer form, just to be organized. So the question is, Bishlama, Kiddush, Haggadah, and Hallel are all Cheres oriented, so it makes sense to say that that each of those three have an internal theme of Cheres, therefore Haseba Shayach to them. But Birchas Hamazon is said every day, right? So what about Birchas Hamazon is specifically Cheres oriented to say that Haseba would be Shayach to them as a Chelek of the Birchas Hamazon? So I suggested, number one, sort of what Sivi just said, is if you look at the second bracha of benching, there's also a reference to Cheres. We say, Rabbi Al Shahose, Sanu Hashem Lokenu Me Eres Mitzrayim, Upti Sanu Mi Veis Avadim. So within benching itself, you have this Cheres component. And then just to add one other Ha'ara, is that there's a concept that actually comes out, I don't spend too much time on this, but there's a famous Gemara in Zvachim, Tzad Yam and Beis, which is, again, in the context of the Gemara, I wish I would have assigned this to you, but in the context of discussing when you have a clash between Mekudosh and Tadir. Which one wins out? Right? Generally, there's a lacha of tadir shenu tadir called them, trying to figure out the order of things, that tadir comes first. Says Gemara, what happens if you have a case where one item is tadir, but the other item is mekudosh? And there's also another klal.
Mekudosh
is something which is holier, literally. It's more kedusha, that takes precedence. So the Gemara says, what happens when one thing is tadir and another thing is mekudosh? Which takes precedence? So the Gemara, you see where I'm going with this, the Gemara brings a raya, that thinks, has a raya, says, there's a raya which says that a carbon, the carbon tamid comes before, on Shabbos, the carbon tamid comes before the carbon musaf. Says the Gemara, you have a great raya. Carbon tamid is tadir. Tadir comes before Musaf Shal Shabbos, the Kedusha Shabbos, that is more Mekudosh, and yet you see the Tadir trumps Mekudosh. And the Gemara rejects this as a very important line. The Gemara says, basically, I'll paraphrase, basically, is it Atu that Musaf is the only thing which is invested with Kedusha Shabbos? Is it Atu that the Kedusha Shabbos isn't also invested in the Tamid? Says the Gemara in a very important Yisod, that even when you have Dvarim Shel Chol, which are performed on a Yom Tov, those Dvarim Shel Chol are also defined by the Kedusha of the day. So therefore, just like the Musaf of Shabbos is defined as a Karban Shal Shabbos, so too the Tamid is defined as a Tamid Shal Shabbos, and therefore has the same Kedusha Shabbos as the Musaf, and therefore, says the Gemara, it's not an example of Mekudash versus Tadir, because the Tamid has both factors of Tamid and Mekudash. So along those lines, you can say, and again, a lot of Mefarshim reference that Gemara for this very important Yisod, that when a Davar Chol takes place on a Yom Tov or on a Shabbos, the Kedusha Shabbos, the Kedusha Yom Tov, is Chal in that Dvar Chol as well. So you can say back here that the Birchas HaMazon of Leil Seder, right, in conjunction with the fact that it also has a theme of Cheres in that second Bracha, but you can say that on the Leil Seder, that theme perhaps defines the Birchas HaMazon as a whole. And the Birchas HaMazon also takes on the character of being a, you know, as having this, you know, enlarged theme of Cheres. And therefore, not only is the Kiddush, the Haggadah, and the Hawa all defined by their theme of Cheres, but perhaps on the Leil Seder, the internal theme of benching basically becomes enlarged and becomes part of its defining characteristics to therefore make it shayach to also have a seba on Birchas HaMazon. So again, I'm just bringing that Gemara and Zvachim as, you know, as a raya to the idea that something like a Dvar Chol, such as Birchas HaMazon, which takes place every day, can take on a different character once it's in the context of a Pesach, of a Leil Seder. Yeah?
What about the Hawa? Is the Hawa a Hawa Shalmik
or a Hawa Shalmik? So the Gemara, there are Gemaras later in the paragraph which discuss it. Two Chalakim of the Halal, one's a more. The first half versus the second half of the Halal gets a whole discussion, and then they say like the first half is more shayach to the Inyan of Yetzias Mitzrayim. The second half is more universalistic. That's its own topic. But for sure, the first half is considered to be, you know, more directly relevant to the Cheres. So again, so in short, in terms of this question, oh yeah, sorry.
I remember why I said it was connected to the coast.
Yeah.
Chaim Willig asked me.
Oh.
It's only derech cheirus if it's during achila. Like if you, for other things, for the kriyas haggadah or the halal, that's not a sign of cheirus. You're leaning when you're saying words. It's not. How is that cheirus?
I'm saying a bit. You're asking basically a question of, okay, granted, you're saying, Bishlam, I understand why these Amiros have a theme of Cheros, but you're saying, but what value is there to Haseba? Is that you basically asking? Like, what value of Haseba is there when you're not eating?
Yeah.
So, that's a good point, and it could be that the Rishonim, who accept approach number one, who don't say that, it could be that their basis is exactly that Hara. Right? They could be that they're arguing, they're saying, I agree with you, Meiri, that these Amiros have the same internal Cheres theme, just like matzah and dalakosos, but what value is there to Haseba outside of eating? But you're correct to note, but the Meiri seems to assume that there's a, that there, that Haseba is an expression of Cheres even when you're talking. Just like, you know, the person who's, you know, chilled out, you know, laying back, you know. There's a reason why in Shir, someone's like, sit up straight, show proper respect. Because the idea, you know, the way you sit, the way you, it could be that has a chalos, that has, you know, and everyone's like, you know. It's like an underhanded way of, you know. I was like waiting the entire summer today. So it's a good hour. The Meiri obviously argues and says, you know, that while that's possible.
You could read the Meiri saying that.
Okay.
It's on the coast. Because it's connected to the coast.
So, but why do you do it during the Amira? You think it's like Tafel?
What?
Different days, I don't know whether that's true, but yeah.
Yeah, but the Rav, it's all written, sure, right? So it's like, Enom Shira El Yain. So the whole thing is, all these things, you have to hold the whole coast in Kiddush, you have to hold the coast in Kiddush, you have to hold the coast in Kiddush, and according to some Rishkas, you hold the coast in Marabah. So all these, the Yonam are Kusha to the coast. So it's a difference.
That's fine, but I'm saying, would that necessarily go so far to say that you're saying once you're holding it, so then the Haseba is seen as like a preparation for the drinking type thing? It's considered like shayach to the drinking process? What?
That was part of the Suda. It makes it less than an Amira and more of a, it's also shayach to the coast.
Okay, and then you're, but again, Chaim's point is an excellent point, but Chaim's point is that we're trying to give significance to a seba, meaning assuming that a seba is only significant, is only an expression of cheras during an achil and shtia, so then you have to say that idea and then say that because you're holding the kos, then the amira is considered like part of the process of drinking. It's seen as like the build up to it, and therefore that gives, you know, chashivas to the aseba. Could be. That's an interesting idea. Oh, but again, just to spell it out. But again, according to approach number two, that haseba is a mitzvah b'fnei atzmo, which is specifically associated with su'uda or achila. So then bepashtus, again, unless you take your idea so far, bepashtus, you would not find haseba associated with these samiros, because again, according to the way the Rambam says it, it's dafka by the achilas. And again, Rambam, and the Rav spells this out specifically, that if you take the su'uda approach, that it would not be shayach to do a seba for any of these amiros. And the Rambam Lishitel so doesn't mention it. So again, there's yet another thing which is impacted by these different approaches. Again, if you take the first approach that it's a chil, that the haseba is shayach to anything which has an internal theme of chiros, so then it could be shayach like the Meiri. But if you take the mitzvah b'fnei atzmo approach, which says that haseba is shayach to a chila or su'uda, so then haseba would not be shayach to these amiras. Fine. So now moving on to karpas, okay, which is yet another item where it's not clear whether Haseba applies. And again, and the analysis is going to be similar to what we're saying right now. So just before we analyze it, just in terms of the evidence in the Gemara and Rishonim, any evidence in the Gemara that there's Haseba by Karpas? No. All right, the Gemara, which is very important to note, right, and on the side that there's no Haseba by Karpas, is the fact that the Gemara never mentions it, and in fact, almost all Rishonim do not mention doing Haseba by karpas. So again, minastam, that would imply that there's no haseba for karpas. But there's one rishon who does say that haseba is shayach to karpas. And we're going to have to analyze. Who's that rishon? Right? Avudram. Right? The Avudram, again, in Seder Haggadah Perusha, basically when discussing the mitzvah of karpas, sticks in on the bottom line here on the Marmakomas. It's about ochal mimenu kizayis, which is itself interesting. Right, he mentions, he applies the din of Haseba also to Karpas. And because we don't know what the Avudram really holds about, you know, in general, about what the Avudram's approach to Haseba is, we're going to have to analyze, you know, Hishita in light of all the different approaches, and we're going to have to take the opportunity to learn a little bit about Karpas, because we're not going to get to it anyways. So again, so now we have to analyze this shita, this question about whether Haseba is shayach to Karpas in light of all the different approaches. So again, according to the first approach, that Haseba applies to any mitzvah which has an internal component of cheres to it. So the question is going to be, right, if you're going to decide whether Haseba is shayach to Karpas, the question is going to be, what is the reason for Karpas? And does that reason for Karpas relate to the theme of Cheres? So we're going to see that most reasons given for Karpas do not relate to Cheres, which would account for why most Rishonim do not apply Haseba to Karpas. But there is one reason offered by the Bach, which we'll get back to, which says that no, the reason for Karpas is Cheres related, which could therefore be a possible justification for the Avudram if he would accept this first approach. So let's just go through it. So the first group of reasons reasons behind Karpas, again, we're going to give three reasons which do not relate to Cheres, which would therefore justify the prevalent psak not to apply Haseba to Cheres, to Karpas. So what's the first, Chaim, what's the first one mentioned by the Gemara? What's the reason why we eat Karpas before the Suda? Right, exactly, Kadesh Yishalu Tinoikos, right? This is the Gemara on Kuf Yudalat on the base. Again, as we referenced before, this is within a whole big shach of Tariya with the Reish Lakish about mitzvah srichos kavana, and the Gemara is just trying to, you know, Gemara thinks is a hechreach, the fact that you have two tibulim, right, the fact you have both karpas and mara, doesn't that prove that mitzvah srichos kavana? The Gemara says, no! It's not necessarily hechreach, because it could be that the reason why you do it is kadesh yishalu tinokos. So the Gemara, Agav, that Shach of Torah, and Kuf Yudalat Amud Beis, basically offers one reason for karpas, which is kedesh yishu tinokos, to keep the children engaged, part of the broader theme of yigata tilavincha, keeping the children engaged. Again, that reason is not connected to chiras directly, and therefore, yeah. Oh, you're saying he's giving a shot in the Gemara.
He says the tshuva is that's chiras.
Okay, interesting. Okay, so you're right. Right. So again, you know, it could be that they're giving a pshat in the Gemara. I like that. Okay, good. Okay, right. So I would say the simple pshat kedesh yishu l'tinokos, as the Rashbam just says, is just to keep them engaged. Nothing to do with cheres per se. That's the first reason. What the second reason given for karpas is the Rav Yosef Tuvel, which we had before, right? What's Rav Yosef Tuvel's idea, Aryeh? Why do we eat karpas? Exactly, right? According to Rav Yosef Tuvelam, the reason for karpas is just to be able to recite a Borei Pri Adama to pater the maror later.
And then the Meiri asked that it's...
This Meiri?
Yeah. He asked that it's another... It's hard to say that he's saying another pshat in the Gemara.
Yeah, I mean, he also points out, if you look at the Lashon, we'll get to in a second, the Lashon of the Bach, is that he seems like he's trying to say pshat in the Gemara.
He's saying another pshat. What's the problem to say such a thing?
Meaning?
He's just saying another pshat. The Gemara is saying more pshat, and he's saying another pshat.
You could say that. Again, generally...
No, I'm answering on this question.
You see, because he's coming from the Lashon of the Bach, which we'll get to in a second. We'll get back to it. You're offering Ha'ara for Rav Yosef Tuvel.
I know.
So Rav Yosef Tuvel himself doesn't have that leeway. He's not working from the Gemara. So again, Chaim saying, I'm not bothered. I'm not bothered by the fact that Rav Yosef Tuvel gives an alternative to the Gemara. Whatever. Not Rav Yosef Tuvel.
The children should ask, what's the answer? The answer is because you have to make a bach.
Oh.
We don't care what the answer is. It's just...
Okay, you could say that. I guess Kadesh Yishlu Tinokos is open to, I guess you can say, whatever the answer is to whatever you want.
Usually the answer to the questions are like something that's to do with like Cheres, the whole, like Abdus, not like so you can make
up. Yeah. It's a Kalamdish. The kids are like, oh, really? Yeah. It's a Gemara here. Okay. Generally, Rishonim don't offer alternatives to the Gemara, so that's why I think. But, okay. I'm not gonna. I hear. So again, just quickly, so you had the first non-Cheres answers, like Kadesh Yishlu Tinokos, just assuming it's just to keep them, awake. Second answer, the non-Cheres answer is the Rav Yosef Tuvel's idea, just to be Yotzei, the Borei Pri Adama. And the third one is actually offered by the Maharal, quoted by the Bach. Anyone remember what the Maharal's explanation was? Anyone remember the... This is quoted by the Bach. Anyone have the Bach open? Here? And the paragraph starts, Maharal.
Oh. Baram Prag, Harakhavo Bazaar, because of the Atoa, Tibola Rishon, who Bak Day, she Nika Osen and Tibola Shinish, she was Shemitzah Mar. So I am a Tibola Rishon, like Nika Rachel's Mar, she was Shemitzah, Share, claim was a son of the Havo, the Kabahazaris.
Stop there. So what in essence did the Maral just say? It's a very interesting idea. What?
It's a setup.
Exactly. It's a setup. The reason why you do a karpas, it's like a decoy in a sense. Like, it's no value in of itself. It's just to say, so we're doing tibul number one. So when we get to tibul number two, i.e. maror, then the kids will be like, okay, why are you doing two tibulin? And the answer is, so it'll be clear that it's l'shem mitzvahs maror. So in essence, right, the third non-cheres reason offered by the maror is the reason why we have karpas is so that it's so that the achilas maror is nikar that it's l'shem mitzvah. Okay, nice, you know, nice karpas Torah. But again, for our purposes, all three of these reasons are not directly related to cheres, and therefore, within the first approach, it would not be shayach to do a seba for karpas if the reason for karpas were any of these three. But this brings us to a fourth reason for karpas, which is cheres related, which would therefore be one way to justify the shita of the avudram if he's accepting this first approach, is to say that the reason why there is a seba by karpas, even though a seba is chilek in the mitzvah, is because karpas is cheres related. So now the question is, how in the world is karpas cheres related? So what does the Bach say? And remember, what's the Bach's pshat in karpas? What?
This is because we're like B'nai Chorin.
Because what do B'nai Chorin do?
They have appetizers.
Exactly. B'nai Chorin are, you know, rich enough or wealthy enough to be able to have appetizers, which they eat before the meals to get them hungry.
So why do you put it inside?
That's just part of the, you know, it's hors d'oeuvres. You know, it's like, you know, a fancy way you eat those things. You just read the Bach quickly. So yeah, this is the lashon that he's coming off of, because the Bach starts, he said, by saying "Batshuva litinokosu," the response to the tinokos sounds like he's working off the Gemara. And the Gemara says "Kadesh yishu litinokos." So okay, so that's the yes. But what's the answer? The answer is this. So the Bach's lashon implies that he's not offering an alternative to the Gemara, but that he's working within the Gemara. But what's the tshuva litinokos? Stop there. Right? So the purpose of karpas is because eating something like karpas before the meal is derech cheres, just like b'nei chorin shemat bilin kodem su'uda lahamshich ta'avas amacha. Right? So the simple understanding of the Bach is that karpas is cheres related. So once karpas is cheres related, so then you can explain why hesiba would be shayach to karpas even within the first approach. So again, within the first approach, this is the way to justify the application of a seba to karpas within this understanding of the Bach. And we got some nice shitos about karpas. Great. Oh. But now, transition to approach 2a. My approach 2a says that his seba is going to be shayach to any chashiv achila of the night. Now the question is the achila of karpas a chashiv achila? So it's sudden lakan lakan. What would be a reason to say that it's not chashav achila? Hint? Less than a kezias. Right, according to many Rishonim, you specifically eat less than a kezias. What's the reason for that? Exactly. You don't have to make a bracha achrona. Excellent. So either way, whatever the reason, the fact that you eat less than a kezias of karpos could therefore tell you that it's not a chashav achila. Right? The fact that you don't make a bracha achrona is because it's not a chashav achila. So again, within the chashav achila, right, approach 2a, one could justify the reason why seba wouldn't apply is because it's not a chashav achila, as seen from the fact that it's not even a kezias.
And the Buddha Rambam says it is.
Oh, good. Kezias. Very good. Excellent. Israel. So on the other side of things, if a particular Rishon, number one, says that it is a kezias, and Abu Dram, perhaps Lashitaso, says that it is a kezias, excellent. But what's also the what's another factor which makes something chashuv? Or the fact that what? It's a chiyuv, it's a mitzvah. Right? What's, you know, the way that Yerub Chaim, you know, seemed to explain why the kezias rishon of matzah was a chashuv achila, when he said it's not a din in the kiyuv mitzvah, but it's associated with the mitzvah, is because it was a chiyuv. So again, the fact that karpas is a chiyuv could upgrade its significance, especially if you take Yisrael's ha'ara, that not only is it a chiyuv, but especially if for the Abu Drum, someone like the Abu Drum who says that it is a kezias, that would maybe say it is a chashav achila, it's a kezias, it's a chiyuv, so maybe that would be the way to justify the application of a seba to karpas. Yeah.
What about Mar? Mar is also mitzvah, just because it's a chiyuv mitzvah.
You're saying
if it's only a part of the suit, it's the mitzvah, that makes it a chashav achila, then Mar also.
You're saying you don't have any of these factors. It's a kezias, so you have to come in according to this approach 2a. You have to come on to another explanation why it's not considered a chashav achila. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, it's arachia. You have to come up with a different reason. 100%. And then within the approach 2b, that it's associated with anything which is considered part of the su'uda. So now, it would be very easy to justify karpas not being part of the su'uda. Why? Exactly, right? The simple explanation is that, right, within the su'uda approach, is that the reason why most, right, would not apply, and let's say the Rambam, right, the Rambam Lishitaso, who clearly, right, according to the Rav at least, clearly adopts the su'uda approach, doesn't apply a seba to karpas, because karpas is way before the suda starts, right? You know, the whole magid to get to before you start the suda. So papashtus, karpas doesn't require a seba because it's not part of the suda. That'd be the simple approach. But if the avu drum, again, we don't know, would accept the suda approach, so how would you justify the shita? How would you justify karpas being part of the suda, and that's why it would require a seba? It goes back to what? That Bach. If you look carefully at the Bach, well, one part of the Bach is playing up the derecheres of it, but if you remember the end of the Bach, Ephraim, go back to it, it says, kederech, right, it says, you do derecheres, kederech b'nei chorin, shemat bilim kodem su'uda, were the next couple words. Yeah. L'hamshich. Oh. So what's the purpose? Says the Bach, right. One part of the, he's saying, we do it because it's an expression of chirus, but lemaisa, what does it do? It is mamshich the ta'avas ha'maichel. It makes you, it's like a hechsher of the su'udah itself. So says the Rav, it, within the su'udah approach, a way to justify why karpas would require, why it would require haseba, even though it comes way before the su'udah, is because it's a hechsher for the su'udah. He quotes this Bach and says, oh, according to the Bach, that its purpose is lahamshach ta'avas ha'machel, so that could justify it being part of the su'udah. Because if you just, in terms of just the categories of birchas hananin, the reason why something which is the category of dvarim abayim besocha su'udah, machmas su'udah, what makes it part of the su'udah is that it's mamshach the ta'avas ha'machel. The fact that those items, the reason why it's part of the suda is because of this factor, because it gets a person hungrier to continue eating. So says the Rav, so too, if you have something like karpas, if its purpose is to get a person to be hungrier, even though it takes place lifnei asuda, it would also be part of the suda to thereby be integrated into the suda to be shayach to heseba. Fine. So Adkan was our discussion of which items Haseba is shayach to, and we saw that that whole discussion, that whole issue of which items Haseba is shayach to, was directly connected to the original approaches of what the nature of Haseba is. I had to now spend the rest of the sugya, hopefully the next couple of minutes and the next shir and a half possibly, discussing another issue which is directly impacted by the different approaches to the sugya, to the nature of Haseba, which is the ikuv of Haseba. Whether Haseba is ma'akiv and what it is ma'akiv. And we're going to see that this question of whether Haseba is ma'akiv and what is ma'akiv is also going to be directly talik on the nature of Haseba as we're discussing. What? What did you say? Exactly, 100%. But before getting to the analysis based on the various mahalchim, what is the one memra in the Gemara which is the prime makor for this question about whether Haseba is ma'akev? What is it? What? Exactly, right. The memra about the Shamash. So let's just read this really quickly. Right? The Gemara raises the question, Yibayilu Shamash Mai. Yoni, would you mind?
Sure.
Three lines up from the bottom of the page, Yibayilu.
Yeah, Yibayilu Shamash Mai. So we asked that Shamish, whether he has to do a seva or not. So Rishon Levi says that the Shamish that eats Kazaz Matzah, if he's leading, then he's Yotzei. So Mesiv in, Lo Mesiv Lo. So Shemar Na Bayi Seva. So we're dying that is Mesiv in, only if he does a seva is he Yotzei, but if he didn't do a seva, then he's not Yotzei.
Oh. So it's very clear from this memra that Haseba is ma'akev something, right? If you don't do it, lo yatza. But, as we'll see, the big question is, lo yatza, what's the subject of lo yatza? And that's going to be the center of this discussion. So as we've seen before, the two basic options, the simplest explanation is that lo yatza, the mitzvah of matzah, right? And if you interpret like that, which we'll see some Rishonim, so then this is the makor that Haseba is ma'akev, the mitzvah itself. So again, so one way to interpret lo yatzah is referring to the mitzvah of matzah. So then you have a makor that Haseba is ma'akev, the mitzvah itself. But, as the Grizz points out, there's an alternative way to understand lo yatzah, that it's not referring to the mitzvah of matzah itself, but it's rather referring to what? The mitzvah of Haseba. And says the Griz, the way the Rambam is going to understand this line, is that lo yatz is referring to the mitzvah of Haseba. So there's no raya from the Gemara that Haseba is ma'akev any mitzvah, because according to the Griz, the Rambam holds that it's not a chilek in the mitzvah, it's a mitzvah of the atzmo. So the only thing that's going to be ma'akev is the mitzvah, the independent mitzvah of Haseba. But within this understanding of this Griz, this second interpretation that the Gemara is going in the mitzvah of matzah, the independent mitzvah of Haseba, there are two other nekudos which emerge from this reading that the Griz points out. And we'll finish with this. One halacha that comes out of it is that the independent mitzvah of Haseba could be yotze through Haseba during matzah alone. Says the Griz, within the approach that the mitzvah of Haseba is a mitzvah of the atzmo, which is shayach to say to the Seuda, you could have had a havamina, therefore, in order to be yotze, you have to do Haseba throughout the Seuda to be yotze mi'ikra din. Kamash malan, this memra, that you're yotze, the mitzvah of the independent mitzvah of Haseba, as long as you do it during the kazayas of matzah. That's one thing that comes out of it. And the second halacha that comes out of it, and with this we'll conclude, is that the fact that the Gemara uses the bidyeved lashon of yatzah tells you that you're yotze bidyeved if you do Haseba during matzah, mashma, that lechatzchila you should be doing Haseba during more. So says the Brisker Rav, this is the makor for the Rambam that there is an inyan lechatzchila to do Haseba throughout the Seuda. Because again, at first glance, the Gemara says, what raya does the Rambam have that there's an inyan to do Haseba throughout the Seuda? So the Grid says, it's this lashon. The fact that yatzah is mashma, yatzah b'diavad, mashma, that lechatzchila there's an ideal to do Haseba during more, which he assumes the more includes not just dalakosas, but also the entire Seuda. So again, for the
only food?
What?
Is that only food?
It sounds like it, yeah. Only food. So again, for the Griz, with this conclude, the Griz says, within his understanding, within the Rambam, that the Yatzah, Lo Yatzah, is going the independent mitzvah of Matzah, two halachas are coming out. Number one, that you can be Yotze, the base level of that Chiyav, during Matzah, and the other level, that Lechatzchila, that mitzvah extends to even Shar Suda. We'll stop here, and we'll pick up tomorrow, whoever is still with us.